Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Peace Hawkins, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom. My name is daughter of Yisrael Abel Kyra, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and an honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of Yisrael Abel, Tyra.
Shalom. Is everyone having a great feast? Okay. Who knows the theme for the feast?
Anybody?
Does anybody know the theme for the feast? Yes, that's right. We came to serve, not to be served. This morning we have three wonderful speakers who will be teaching us the importance of serving others and the joy we give to them when we do. Without any further delay, I present to you our first speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Mattiel is serving others at the feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. Every year at this time, we gather together at Yahweh's great house for the feast. We come to the feast not just to sit and be served, but to learn how to serve others. Yeshua Messiah is an example of a great servant. According to Yochanan 13, verses 4 and 3, the great overseer is also a perfect example of a great servant. So why do we have to learn to serve others? We serve each other because Yahweh is making a people for his perfect righteous kingdom. And he wants to be sure that we can show care and concern for all his creation. He wants unity, humility, loyalty, love, peace, obedience, and rejoicing in his perfect righteous kingdom. In conclusion, Yahweh's feast is about serving others. And I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title today is I Want to Serve. To serve means putting yourself last and others first. We have to choose to be humble, and we have to want to help others. When you help others, you are setting an example to others, as Yeshua and Pastor has taught us by Yahweh. Yahweh taught Yeshua, Yeshua taught Pastor, and Pastor teaches us to be the best we can be. Some ways we serve others at the feast are spraying feet, cleaning up after ourselves, serving food, teaching, and going to the classes. We also serve each other by using the peaceful solution to everyone and practicing and keeping all of Yahweh's laws. When you serve others, other people will serve you. And that's how we all learn to help each other, like the family wants us to be. Wouldn't it be nice if the world started using the peaceful solution and having an attitude of servitude? The whole world could be a much better place. We should all follow our pastor and Yeshua's example on how to be the best servants we can be. May Yahweh bless you all. I'll now turn it over to the next teacher.
Sure, you may be seated. The title of my speech is Going Your Own Way. What does it mean to go your own way? Well, it means to do what is right in your own eyes. In other words, doing what you want to do. And that is not what Yahweh expects from us. The book of Yahweh warns against this. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, found on page 504, if you could please turn there, it says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but the ends, there are the ways of death." There are consequences for going our own way. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, the prophet Samuel told King Shaul to totally destroy a nation, including all the animals. But the king disobeyed Samuel and went his own way, doing what was right in his own eyes, and lost everything. Shaul rejected the word of Yahweh, and the consequences was Yahweh rejected Shaul from being king. In Yahweh's way, he set pastors, the Kohanim, and parents over us to guide and keep us safe. We are commanded to obey them so that we can obtain eternal life. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 5, In Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 and 8, from the page 157, it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of the tribes to establish his name, and there you must go. You must not at all do as we are doing here this day, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes." Sisters, it is up to us. No. Sisters, it is up to you to choose which way you will go. Yahweh's way, which is obedience and leads to eternal life, or your own way, which is disobedience and leads to death. I know I will choose Yahweh's way, and I hope you do too. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next teacher.
And at this time, I'd like to turn the services over to the queens of the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Welcome home, family of Yahweh. Welcome home. Now, let me ask you, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of us here today, and also those who are joining us over the media. May the peace of Yahweh be with us as well, those who couldn't make it for the great feast of Yahweh. Let me ask you something to introduce our speakers today. Do you think that the children in the great house of Yahweh have a wonderful opportunity to learn perfectly at the great house of Yahweh? Now, for those antique persons like myself in age, I have an idea of something that occurred. I want to share it with you why I think the children in Yahweh's house have such a great opportunity. On 24th, Yeshua, the great overseer said, "Today is 24 Yeshua," in his sermon. So I said, he said 24 Yeshua. Like in the scripture, Yahweh always uses the day before the month. Like Yahweh says, on the 14th of so-and-so. Isn't that true? Yes, on the 13th of so-and-so. So on 24th Yeshua, the great one sent said these words. He said, "Everything you say or do sends a message. Whether you say it out of spite or thinking it was right." So the children said to me, this is what he said during the sermon. And I said, "What did he say it like a beat?" They said, "No, he just said it." So I said, "So why am I hearing it like a I have a challenge for you, because I think I found how I can get rid of 'Mary had a little lamb.' You see how old I am? I cannot forget it. Jack and Jill went up the hill. Do you see? We cannot forget those things. So here's what. Why don't we take the great one sense words and put them into a where we can remember them? What do you think? So our children now, they won't have to learn that Mary thing. We can grail those words of the great one sent into their minds now, and they will not forget it like we kind of forget the other old thing I told you. Do you see? So here's what he said. He said, "Everything you say or do sends a message, whether you say it out of spite or thinking it was right." So here's the beat. It goes, "Everything you say or do sends a message, whether you say it out of spite or thinking it was right." True or false? So when we can drill those things into our children's mind, they have the best opportunity in the world to learn Yahweh's way. Do you agree, Great House of Yahweh? Very nice. So for the feast, do that. Take his words and make it into things and verses that our children can memorize, and it will stick with them forever. So with that going, let's go ahead and have a wonderful rest of Sabbath. And I'll introduce, feast day. And I'll introduce to you our first great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, you may all be seated. So as you all know, that the theme for the feast is "I came to serve, not to be served." So I have a story I want to share with you today. There was once an elderly woman who lived on a farm. She spent most of her time working in the garden. Picking vegetables is what she loved to do the most. She was always busy helping people around, never wasting her time. And spring was quickly approaching, and it was time for her to plant her garden again. So she asked her neighbor, Mrs. Penny, to help her turn the dirt so she could plant her seeds. Mrs. Penny says, "I cannot help you turn your dirt. I am too busy doing my own work. You will have to find someone else." And Mrs. Penny shut the door. So the elderly woman turned the dirt herself, and then came time to plant the seeds. And she went to the mail carrier, Miss Blue, and she said, "Miss Blue, can you help me plant my seeds?" And Miss Blue said, "I cannot help you with your work. I cannot help you plant the seeds. I am too busy doing my own work. You will have to find someone else." So the elderly woman planted her own seeds. And then it came time to water the garden. and the elderly woman asked the storekeeper, Mrs. Rose. She said, Mrs. Rose, can you help me water my garden? Mrs. Rose replied, I cannot help you water your garden. I am too busy with my own work. You will have to find someone else. And she continued sweeping. The elderly woman watered her garden herself. And the plants grew, and it came time to harvest the vegetables. And she went around and asked, who can help me harvest all of the vegetables? Not I, said her neighbor, Mrs. Penny. Not I, said the mail carrier, Miss Blue. Not I, said the storekeeper, Mrs. Rose. Well then, said the elderly woman, I will have to do it myself. And she did. Now as she was carrying her baskets of harvested vegetables into the house, the next door neighbor, the mail carrier, and the storekeeper saw her and said, we will help you eat your vegetables. And the elderly woman looked at them and said, but you did not help me turn the dirt. You did not help me plant the seeds. You did not help me water the vegetables. You were too busy doing your own work, but now you want to eat my vegetables, what I have worked for? So this story is just an example, because Yeshua teaches us not to want to be served, but to be willing to serve others. He says, don't be too busy doing your own work that you can't serve others by doing the work of Yahweh. Remember, we did not come here to be served, but we came here to serve. And in Yochanan Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45, it says, but Yeshua called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who are greater still exercise authority over them. But this must not be among you, for whoever will be the greatest among you will be your minister, your servant, and whoever will be the first will be the slave for all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but came to serve, and to give his life for a ransom for many. Yeshua taught that the greatest would be the one who was willing to serve. And the scriptures show over and over again, we have examples of Yeshua when he fed the hungry and he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he was continuously teaching the people Yahweh's laws. What we read in book 2 is only a short, condensed version of Yeshua's life, but he was all about serving and taking care of others. He had an attitude of servitude, and we must have the same attitude of servitude if we want to become perfect like Yeshua. And I know at times, sometimes we don't always feel like we want to serve because of situations that may arise or things that may offend us, but Yeshua had people persecuting him. He had tests and trials, but he still served the people as if he still served the people like he wanted to be served. And Ephesians 6, verse 6 through 8, it says, not as men pleasers with their eyes upon you, but as servants of the Messiah, doing the will of Yahweh from the heart, wholeheartedly rendering service as to Yahweh and not as to men, knowing whatever righteous thing anyone does, he will receive the same from Yahweh. An attitude is of servitude is not because our name is on the schedule or it's a job we're given to do, but it's because we genuinely want to help the people around us. Yahweh sees and he knows the intent of our heart. Yeshua, Messiah, who was completely perfect and righteous, stressed the importance of serving others, not serving just because it was something assigned to us, but because we love one another. And in Yochanan chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this you will know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. By willingly serving each other with joy and gladness, we take on Yeshua's attitude of servitude, and there are many promises for those who become perfect. And in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7, it says, but as for you, be strong and do not become discouraged, for your work shall be rewarded. Yahweh will reward us for our righteousness, and he sees when we serve each other. And in closings in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah. So let's continue serving each other and taking on Yahweh's and Yeshua's attitude of servitude. And I want to thank the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisro Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And I'll now turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh, give me all be seated. How's everyone enjoying their feast so far? Okay, praise Yahweh. Okay, so the title of my speech today is What Manner of Servant Ought We to Be? And going according along with the theme for the feast today, remember we have our lovely t-shirts. Let's take it out there. Okay, on the count of three, we're going to read, okay? One, two, three. I did not come to serve, but to serve. Okay, and from this theme, we can see that there is two sides to serving. Number one, the one who is providing that service is the servant. Number two, the one who is the one who is receiving that service provided, we're going to refer to them as the recipient. Okay, so think about the relationship between the servant and the recipient. Out of this relation, who would you think is receiving the greatest reward, the greatest benefit? Okay, so many of you might say, well, the recipient, because they're being served. Well, a matter of fact is you're wrong. Science has proven the one who is providing that service, the servant, is receiving the greatest benefit. So there was an article and it was showing serving a lot of people, right? And so they were given scenarios. One person is helping someone else and another person is being helped. And they took MRIs or brain scans and they learned three different things. Number one, it reduces the stress-related activity. So when I serve you, I'm not thinking about myself, I'm not thinking about my problems, and so my stress is reduced. Number two, there's a greater reward activity. When I serve you, right? When I serve you, I get satisfaction out of that, okay? And number three, there's a greater caregiving-related activity. So when I serve you, I'm learning to care for you, to show respect to you, to be kind to you. And not only this, during Yeshua Memorial, Pastor said something that caught my attention. He was talking about Yeshua and how he washed his disciples' feet. And he said he took the job of the lowest slave. This washing up feet is a cleansing. And so I thought about that. I was like, okay, so you're cleansing the person's feet, getting the dirt, the particles off. Well, no. He went on to say that washing feet cleanses us of our selfishness. Serving others cleanses us of our selfishness, our pride, and those are the ways of the world. And he continued to say, not only do we get the selfishness, the pride out, it helps build our humility. It helps us put on that humility. And so moving along, I really want to talk about the characteristics of what a servant should have. So number two, talking about the humbleness, is being humble and teachable. Being humble and teachable. And in Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to read this really quickly. He says, the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. The disciples asked Yeshua, who is the greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh? Then Yeshua said, he called a little child and set him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted, we have to change, and become like little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like a little child and is teachable, the same is greatest in the kingdom of Yahweh. So for us to get into the kingdom of Yahweh, we must be teachable and humble. Now, Yeshua Messiah, our high priest, the greatest servant who lived on earth, he served others by teaching and preaching the message, and overall, he laid down his life for our sins. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and lay down your lives for your brothers and sisters, no, but we laid down our lives by serving others. We laid down our lives by serving each other. Remember, we came to the house of Yahweh? We came to the house of Yahweh to learn, right? To learn what to teach so we can teach what we've learned. And that's why we came here. We came to learn the laws of Yahweh, which will give us life, so we can teach others the laws of Yahweh, which will give them life. And we have to remember, how can we learn if we're not teachable? How can we learn if we're not willing to learn? Think about how hard it is to train and teach a person who is stubborn. Remember, Pastor talked about that stubborn donkey. The donkey will work for you if he loves you. Do you love Yahweh? So, in closing, sisters, we must develop the full measure of servitude, becoming these faithful, humble, flexible donkeys to Yeshua as he became our faithful, loving Passover lamb. So ask yourself, what manner of servant ought you to be? And remember, we did not come into this world to be served, but to be those servants who will finish Yahweh's plan. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You may be seated. May peace be with each and every one of you. Okay, so if we could turn over to First Kefa 2, on page 958 and verse 21. For to this you were called to do righteousness, because of this doing righteousness, Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So He left us an example, and we're going to see some examples that he left us to follow. In verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. He did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. So that's one of the examples he set for us. When he was being killed and being hung on the stake, he didn't like fight back or try to, you know, tell them to stop or anything. He knew he had to do the work, so he continued doing the work and serving us, and that's the example he left us to follow. Okay, so in Yochanan Mark, on page 772, Yochanan Mark 10, and verse 42, it says, but Yahshua called to them and said to him, you know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who are greater still exercise authority over them. But this must not be so among you. For whoever will be greatest among you, he will be your servant, your minister. And whoever will be the first will be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, he came to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Notice verse 45, Yahshua came to serve. He didn't come to be served. And he gave his life for us. His mind was always on doing the work, serving others. He wasn't a self-centered person. In Matthew 27, we see the example of Yahshua when he was hung on the stake. And when he cried, Yili, yili, lama sabachthani, my strength, why have you forsaken me? Overseer said that he cried that because, you know, he was still there doing the work on earth and he wanted to continue doing the work. His mind was on serving and teaching up until the very last minute that he was alive. He wanted to stay alive and continue serving and teaching and doing the work and not on, oh, get me out of this misery or whatever. His mind was always on the work. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, on page 951, it says, looking to Yahshua, the first who was led and perfected by the faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he knew that there was a kingdom coming, who for the joy that was set before him endured the sacrifice, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of Yahweh. He knew he was dying for us, and he knew when it was all over, he would be experiencing the most joy he had ever had. And he would be, Hebrews 10:21, our high priest. And this training started when, of always having his mind on the work, it started when he was very young. In Luke 2 on page 783. Luke 2, and it says, now every year his parents went to the feast of Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now once when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem for the feast as usual. And when the feast days were over, the boy remained behind. And his parents finally but when they did not find him, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Finally, after 3 days, they found him sitting and talking foolishness with his friends. Right? Oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Finally, after 3 days, they found him sitting in the sacred precincts of the house of Yahweh, sitting in the midst of the doctors, teachers of the law, both asking and listening to them and asking him questions. His mother said to him, behold, your father and I have searched for you in great distress. He said, why is it that you've searched for me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? And this is the example that Yahshua left for each one of us to follow. We must be about our father's business, serving one another. He lived a selfless life, and he knew that when he died for our sins, he didn't know each one of us personally. He could have called down the legions of Malachim to instantly destroy every single one of those people, but he didn't, because he knew that he had to do the work. In closing, turn to 1 Yochanan 2 and verse 6, on page 964. We made this vow to say that we abide in him. So he who says he abides in him is himself also obligated to walk exactly as he walked. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Yahshua taught us to
through the love of Yahweh, serve one another. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 22, in verse 37, this is when the Pharisees tried to set a trap for him. They asked him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, you must love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Well, how exactly do we love Yahweh? Well, Deuteronomy 10:12 says we love Yahweh by serving him, by obeying him, and following and walking in all his ways. And then how do we love our neighbor? Well, turn over to, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. And verse 13 through 14. For you were called into liberty, brothers, but not by liberty to be instruments of carnality, but through the love of Yahweh, serve one another. For truly, everything in the law through the plan of Yahweh has been accomplished through this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yahshua was a great example of this. At 12 years old, he came to the house of Yahweh to learn to become a teacher and to be a servant. And that's what he was. He taught service through, he taught his disciples that, and he taught us, his disciples, to teach us that. And we can see that through the writings that they have for us. And in Luke 22, verse 27, he said, I'm among you as he who serves. You know, Yahshua knew he was going to be the high priest. He knew he was going to die for our sins. And yet his attitude was still serving. He wasn't like, I'm your high priest, I'm going to die for your sins, so you come here and serve me. He went and served other people until the very point of his death. His mind was on serving others. And First Yochanan says that he who abides in him must walk exactly like him. If we abide in Yahshua, we must do the same. Not putting yourselves above another person. That was Satan's attitude. Satan's attitude was the me, myself, and I 666 attitude. Of putting herself, she put herself above Yahweh, making herself a god. Remember what Yahshua said about those who exalt themselves. If you turn over to Luke chapter 14 and verse 11. Whoever exalts himself will be abased, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And he said to humble yourself like a little child. Well, the reason why he said that is because Proverbs says pride comes before a fall. It's time that we put away the world, start serving Yahweh, and through the love of Yahweh, serve one another. Yahshua showed us what type of servant to be. If you go over to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. He said, then who is a faithful and wise servant whom his ruler has put in charge of his house to give others food and supplies at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his ruler will find when he comes will find him doing. Truly, as I say to you, he will appoint him ruler over all his possessions. What does Yahshua want to find us doing? He taught us what he wants us to find us doing, keeping the laws of Yahweh, and through the love of Yahweh, serve one another. You remember what he told his disciples in Yochanan? If you go over to Yochanan, Mark. Chapter 10. And this is when he was telling his disciples about how the Gentiles put themselves above other people. Yochanan Mark chapter 10 verses 43. But this must not be so among you. For whoever will be the greatest among you will be your minister, your servant. And whoever will be the first will be a slave to all. For even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom for many. This is the only place we're ever going to find true service. That's what we're learning here. To become true servants. There's no true service out in the world. The last time I heard about service in the world was the service you got on your phone. That was about it. If we go over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done away, be done by the way of strife, empty glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let every one of you look out not only for your own interest, but for the interest of others. That requires putting ourselves, not putting ourselves above other people or before other people, but after. We are to serve other people before we serve ourselves. We came here to become a servant. We came here to do as Yeshua has taught. If you go over to Yeshua, verse 15, and he says, "But if he seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods Elohim your father served on the other side of the river, Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites who you now in whose land you now live. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh, and through the love of Yahweh, serve one another." Oh, this will like turn over to next week.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Or shalom, everyone. Sorry, it's not Sabbath. All right, so today I'm going to be continuing talking about this topic of service. But I also want you to remember what our overseer said yesterday at the end of his sermon. He said, you know, this truth, the house of Yahweh is built on truth, which is the laws and the prophecies all taught and written here in the book of Yahweh. Isaiah 58 talks about, you know, the Sabbath, and it shows in Isaiah 59 sin which separates us from Yahweh. Now, I'm going to go to the Mark of the Beast book, the second volume, and on page 136 it says, "The called out ones. The called out ones of Yahweh are those whom Yahweh has drawn out of the ways of this world. The drawn out ones have their minds open to the truth." And we should be very thankful to Yahweh that we have our minds open to the truth, because the rest of the world is deceived. Which means Satan's deception is removed from their minds. And remember the job of the two witnesses and now the last day's witness in Zechariah 5, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh. And remember, Yahweh brought us one more step away from the world by giving us a sacred calendar, taking the gods away from our mouths. Then they understand the truth of the Holy Scriptures when it is presented to them, as Yahshua said in Yochanan 6:44, "No man can come to me unless the Father who has sent him draws him." And we see everyone here that Yahweh has called to his house. Yahweh has drawn us to his house through the teachings and the publications, the preaching and the publishing, which was prophesied for the same generation in 1934. Remember, Matthew 24 says that. Okay, so one of the things it says right here is that we have Satan's deception removed from our minds. And remember on Yahshua's memorial, when our overseer was talking about Yahshua and how he's the greatest man who's ever lived. Remember? That sounds like a song. The greatest man who's ever lived. Because he's our high priest and our example. Remember Hebrews 10:21 and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. He set us an example of keeping the Sabbath, being a servant, the greatest servant of all. How he was when he was young, his parents taught him, and he chose to establish himself as a teacher in Yahweh's house. He went and presented himself at the house of Yahweh. Now, in Luke chapter 4, you see another example of something he taught us. Remember when Satan tempts Yahshua, and one of the things I wanted to remember what we've been taught, that it wasn't Satan herself, right? Herself, this female being, Satan's coming. It was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and Herodians who were going and showing him all the things that they had power and control over through their Roman army. Remember, the Roman army was prophesied of in Daniel 11:31. Okay, so then Yahshua, being filled with Spirit Holy, he was, you know, taught the laws. Remember, before we go into that, he presented himself as the one sent. And we know Yochanan 6:29 says, you know,
this is the work of Yahweh that you believe in Him, He has sent. And in these last days we have our one sent. Who's our one sent? Yisrael Hawkins. Nice job. Again, later when he was a certain age, right after his baptism, remember, he got baptized by Yochanan, and Yahweh said, this is my beloved son. And that's when he had his authority, it was opened to him at the house of Yahweh at Abel. Remember, that scripture was corrected. And that's when he began teaching also. Again, he went to Jerusalem, and that's when he was offered all the kingdoms that they had control over at that time. So not directly Satan, but the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. It proved right there when she said in verse 5, then the devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. All the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and the glory of them, because it has been given over to me, and to anyone I please I can give it. So that proves there that the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians had authority over all that there, and they were showing it to him. They had the Roman army, they controlled all the kingdoms of the earth at that time. They had taken over Israel and the temple, and they had full control. They had the Roman army that went everywhere and anywhere, sending them to kill off those who would not pay tribute. And we know that in these last days that Yada, the scepter holder, they're doing the same thing. Until, remember that word, until, the kingdoms and obedience of the nations is Yahshua's. And we're part of that. If verse 7, if only you worship me, all of this will be yours. And it was so easy, he could have gave in to that. But Yahshua had his mind on things that were a better kingdom. Remember? A better kingdom. And he knew the prophecies. He wasn't deceived by Satan like Eve was in the beginning. He chose to follow Yahweh's laws, and he had the words of Yahweh at his mouth. Now, if we turn over to Daniel, you can see we had Daniel 11:31, the army that would stand on his part, they would pollute the sanctuary of strength. And we know the strength is Yahweh's laws, his prophecies that we've been taught. Daniel 7 verse 27, no, Daniel 7 verse 27. Then the kingdoms and the governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the saints of Yahweh. It goes along with Genesis chapter 49, 10 through 11. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him. Yahshua knew that the kingdom that the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians are over right now, the Yadamites, those, he knew it wasn't going to last forever. And he chose Yahweh's way instead. Another example he set for us. Not only did he was not deceived by it, he also taught against them. They showed him what they had control over. It had been given over to the Yadayim. That's Genesis 49, verse 10. In Luke 4, verse 5, the King James Version uses the same word, high place. And that high place, high, is Hebrew word 5308. And it ties into, remember, the high place. It wasn't like on top of mountains or whatever. But if you go to Micaiah, chapter 4 and verse 1, you see that word. But in the last days, this is on page 705, Micaiah 4 verse 1, but in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain, promotion of the house of Yahweh. Look at that word mountain. Do you see the side note? D, high or exalted place. And remember the scripture that Orochi read yesterday in Isaiah 58 verse 14, I'll cause you to ride on the high places. That word high place, here it's referring to the house of Yahweh, but it was also referring to, you know, the authority, the height in character, height in positions. Authority over everything. And Yahshua knew that their authority was not going to last forever. It was Yahweh's authority promised to us in Genesis 1:26 that was going to last forever. So in these last days, Yahweh's established his house, this mountain, this promotion. And Yahweh promises us many things. And remember how on the night of Yahshua's Amora, Overseer was talking about the seven eras that everyone goes through. And if you go to Revelations and read that, and the last one that he referred to, you know, in Revelation chapter 3, it's talking about the congregation of the house of Yahweh at Abel and the seventh Malach and his work. And if you look at the rest, it makes a lot of sense. I really encourage you to go back to read it. It's in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. But verse 7, behold, I come quickly. I hold fast to that which you have. Let no man take your crown. He who overcomes, and remember, the overcomers are the ones that are going to have a position in this kingdom. He who overcomes,
I will make a pillar in the house of my father. He will never go out of it, or she will never go out of it. The called out ones back on page 137 are given these wonderful opportunities. Their minds are open. These people are taught from Scripture that they will be given eternal life if they overcome. And I'm sure that we all want to be part of that kingdom forever, just like our high priest Yahshua. Could you all please stand? We'll turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I did not come to be served. I came to serve. Isn't that a beautiful statement? It's a beautiful theme for a wonderful feast. And I want to bring your attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. And Koheleth says, "Everything in life is empty, utterly futile, amounts to nothing." I don't say that to make this sound sad or anything. I say it to bring your attention to, why do you do the things you do? Why do you come every day to serve others? Why do you come every feast to serve others? Why do you serve every Sabbath? Why do you do it? And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Then I reached this conclusion. It is fitting and proper for one to eat, to drink, and to enjoy the fruits of all one's labor." And remember, Yahweh commands us to come to the feast and to rejoice in all that we do. And in Hebrews 6, verse 10, Yahweh is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The word minister there means, from dictionary.com, it says, to attend to the needs of someone, to serve others. And we see Yahshua as being one of the greatest examples of that service, Yahweh being the greatest of all, because he serves his creation day in and day out. And without him, we would be nothing. So to have purpose in our life, our purpose should be to serve others and to serve Yahweh. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, Yahweh presents us with the choice, the tree of righteousness or the tree of the mixture of righteousness and evil. And he says, if we choose righteousness, the tree of righteousness and evil, we will die. That dying, we will die. But if we choose the tree of righteousness, then we will, in effect, bring forth the fruits of righteousness ourselves. Because Matthias 7, verse 17 says, "Every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruit, but a tree of evil brings forth fruit of iniquity." We know that word iniquity means doing away with Yahweh's laws. So to partake of the tree of righteousness, we have to be practicing Yahweh's laws. And one of those laws is to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will put their needs above your own, and you will serve them in all accordance to Yahweh's administration and in the way that has been set up here at Yahweh's house. And the Roman Catholic Church, and throughout history, has forced people to convert to the Catholic Church. But Yahweh allows us the choice. So in that, when we're serving one another, remember that everyone has that choice to make. Everyone has their choice. Yahweh said it before us, and heaven and earth is waiting and watching to see if we're going to become the greatest servants or if we're going to become gods, if we're going to set ourselves up to become gods. And what righteous fruits must we produce if we partake of this tree of righteousness? In Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23, it lists out the fruits of the Spirit, which is the first one it says is love. And remember, 1 Diakonon 5, verse 3 says that this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his laws and that his law is not grievous. And the second is joy. What greater joy can you get than from serving your sisters and your brothers here at Yahweh's house? And peace. Peace. We get peace when we keep Yahweh's laws. Yahweh's laws are the way to peace. Long-suffering, patience, kindness, righteousness. And what is righteousness? To do and observe all of what Yahweh has commanded us. and the faith. Remember Hebrews 11, and it gives all the examples of the great servants before our time period, that we can follow their examples. And in Hebrews 11, verse 40, it says, they without us won't make it. So that is one way that we are serving them, is to get through this and hold fast into the end. The next is meekness, gentleness, humility. Can a servant be a servant without being humble? The next is temperance, which is self-control. You have to have a lot of self-control to serve others, right? You have to wait to eat sometimes. Maybe you go to bed late, but you still get back up and do it again the next day. In Deuteronomy 12, verse 7 through 8, it says, in front of Yahweh, you and your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice in all that you have put your hands to do, because Yahweh your Father has blessed you. You must not at all do as they are doing this day, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. And think about Genesis 3, verse 5, Satan said, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods. But we know that's a lie, because in 1 Diaconon chapter 2, verse 11, the apostle wrote, he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going, and darkness is where there's no light. Light is Yahweh's laws. And it says, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So if you walk without, if you hate your neighbor, if you don't serve someone because you don't like them or something along the lines, your eyes are blinded. And you're not following the way that Yahshua walked. In Proverbs 4, verse 26, it says, watch where your feet are going, step only on established paths. Do not turn to the right or to the left, walk away from evil. Where are the paths established? Here at Yahweh's house. So if you are walking according to Yahweh's house, the teachings from Yahweh's house, and you are following the assignments that you were given to serve your brothers and sisters here at Yahweh's house, you are being a servant and walking as Yahshua walked. And in conclusion, I want to say, Hebrews 10:26 says, let us urge one another on towards love, which is keeping Yahweh's laws, and to righteous works, doing the work that Yahweh has assigned us to do in these last days. So as this feast goes on, I urge you to look for ways as you go about your day, as you stand in your place, as you serve your brothers and sisters, to make someone else's job a little bit easier in whatever possible way you can, whether that's completing your job all the way through, or whether that's just saying shalom with a smile. Do what you can to put a smile on someone else's face and to allow them to truly rejoice. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If we can start by turning to Philippians 1:6, please. Philippians 1:6, and that's on page 921. And while y'all are finding that, I just want to ask, I was talking to some sisters yesterday, and we were talking about how this what has been the best feast ever. And it was day one. Do y'all feel that way? Yes, it just, something about this feast has been so special, and so I pray that we all are truly rejoicing. So in Philippians 1:6, I want to read Shaul's words here. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah. Now, I want you to really notice that end part, until the day of Yeshua Messiah. Now, we know when Shaul wrote this, the Messiah had already come and done his first work. So he wasn't referring to that time. He was referring to our time. He was writing this to us. This book is a book of wise counsel to us in these last days on how to get through what we're getting through. And when you read that with those eyes, it really helps you to see it differently. And even our overseers told us, the book of Yahweh was collected for us.
right? It was collected in Rome after all the apostles had already died. It wasn't collected for them. They were gone. It was collected for us to bring us to perfection. So whenever we read anything in this book, it's either a lesson for us to learn from or a prophecy about us. And so we always need to keep that in mind when we're reading the book of Yahweh. But I want to point out to you again how Shaul says he was confident of this thing, that Yahweh would continue to bring us to perfection. Sister Shaul was confident in our ability in these last days, us sitting right here in this room, to come to perfection. So now it's time for us to become confident in our ability and our sister's ability to come to perfection. You know, for years we've been saying we're going on to perfection, we're going on to perfection. But now's the time to be perfect, all of us. Now's the time. No, praise Yahweh. No more negative talk. No more negative thinking. I never want to hear out of anyone in this room again, I'm not going to make it anyway. You hear me? It's time for us to realize Yahweh's promises are true. He says, if you do this, you will get that. True? So unless we're going to call Yahweh a liar, we all have the ability to become perfect, and it's time to do it now, right? Yes. Praise God. So I want to continue on here in chapter 2 of Philippians and verse 12. And he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Yahweh who is at work in you, both to will and to act according to his righteous pleasure. Now notice that. Work out your own salvation. Sisters, I understand there are problems we deal with on a daily basis. I could stand up here for hours and hours and hours talking about all the problems we deal with on a daily basis. I could stand up here for hours talking about the shortcomings of every person I come in contact. Y'all could get up here for the rest of the day and talk about my shortcomings. Okay? We could spend days and weeks and months and years complaining about each other. And when we're done, will we be any closer to Yahweh? No. So it's time to stop. We understand, we recognize that we have shortcomings, but we are working towards perfection. We're going there. And just like we want patience with ourselves, we have to show that patience for others. And I want to flip over to chapter 3 in the same. We're still in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, nor were already perfect, but I keep on pursuing after it, that I may take hold of that for which Yeshua Messiah has also taken hold of me. I do not consider myself as have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I keep reaching forward. I press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. We are pressing on, each and every one of us. And we've got to start looking at the positive qualities in one another. And I'm going to give you an example. If I showed up in the sanctuary like this, okay? I walk in. Shalom! Shalom! Okay. I promise you, you're not looking that I did my makeup. You're not looking that my clothes are ironed and pressed. You're not looking that my shoes are shined. You're not looking at the time and the work and the effort I put into myself. What is the one and only thing you're looking at? Exactly. And that's what we do to our sisters, right? We forget all the hard work, the dedication, the love, the effort, the time that they put in. And all we see is the hair hanging in their face. And that becomes our focus. And we get really mad about it, right? We get really mad about it. Did you see that hair? Did you see that hair in her face? Why hasn't anybody done anything about that? They're just going to let her keep on like that? They're going to let her keep going day after day like that and not change it, not do anything about it? And then we get with our friends. Did you see her hair? Can you believe she left the house like that? I would somebody would take care of that because it's really, really making me mad. Do you get my point? Yes. My darling sisters, we all have things to overcome. I'm not denying that. But I beg you, just like I want you to look to me and my strengths, let us look to one another for our strengths. And I promise you one of two things. I will either learn to control my hair, or Yahweh will take my hair off. Anybody who knows me knows that troubles me, right? But do you see my point? Yahweh will take care of business. He will. But we have got to start looking to the strengths of one another, the positive points in one another. And I want to skip over to, again, to Shaul's writing. I beg you, go home. I know we're busy. I know we are. But go home and read Philippians, because the counsel alone in Philippians that Shaul gives us will help us so much in our growth and walk with Yahweh. And in verse 8, it says, finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of righteous report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. And these are very all positive traits. And these are what we need to look for in one another and think on these things. Sisters, it's only going to get harder. Our overseer mentioned just yesterday that we are the house of Yahweh. We know that. That's not a surprise. But we are the house of Yahweh, the people. It's not just this physical building. It's us. Law number 20 says to build up the house of Yahweh. If you look at that with spiritual eyes, he's telling us to build up one another. Build up one another. Praise Yahweh. Because we need the encouragement. The time is coming where we, each one of us, is going to have to make a choice to serve Yahweh. It's not going to matter if our heads are here, if our children are here, if our sisters are here. It's going to be our choice to walk with Yahweh or not. And we have to learn now to stand fast and hold fast to Yahweh's laws so that we can make that choice to remain in this house forever. And I do pray Yahweh truly blesses you all, that you continue to rejoice this feast. And I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, this morning we're going to continue on bringing out the information the overseer has brought out about being a servant in the house of Yahweh. And to get us started, I'm going to give you a definition, and this is from a dictionary that I pulled off of the Google search, and it says, a servant is a person who performs duties for others, especially a person employed in a house or a workplace. And a service is to say the action of helping or doing work for someone. And to break it all down, we want to serve as a servant in the house of Yahweh. And the serve means to perform duties or services for another. As been brought out by the overseer, we are to put me, myself, and I out the door, and we are to serve each other as we would like to be served ourselves. Now, in one of the Kohan speeches, he brought out on Isaiah 49:3, he says, and he, Yahweh, said to me, Yisroel Hawkins, you are my servant, O Yisroel, through whom I will be glorified. And he said, it is not enough that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected remnant of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, so you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And in Revelation 3:10, it says, because you, Yisroel Hawkins, have kept the word, Yahweh's laws, of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Now, one of the things that he has been bringing out to about us, and this started back in the Going On to Perfection series, which the other speaker had brought out about, and it is in chapter 14, and it's on page 122, and it's a section that says, hurt not the oil and the wine. Okay, and he's been bringing out about the oil. The oil, all of the wars that have been associated with that fourth part of the earth is dealing with the control of the oil. And he goes on to say, it says in Revelation 6, 7, and 8, and when he opened up the fourth seal, he's going on about the fourth seal, and he talks about a pale horse, and the name of him who sat upon it was Death, and the grave followed with him, and the power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with pestilence. Again, it's the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine. Mostly it's about the oil. Then he also brought out about Venezuela. Has anybody been reading up on Venezuela? They brought out that it is one of the richest countries of oil in the world, but yet it is the poorest country that it is going through right now. And he said that it started with the Pope. And I have an article here. He had brought this out a long time ago, and I had to search, and I had to search, and I had to search. And I finally found it. And it says that the leader of Venezuela actually came out against the Pope. He wrote a letter to the Pope, and he came out against the Pope. It says, Venezuela slams Pope Benedict the 16th. And this was on Roman July 16th, 2010. Venezuela actually wrote a letter and he slammed. I mean, he came against Pope Benedict. And at that time, that is when all of the power, all of the economy, all of the finances, the oil and everything of Venezuela was actually wiped out. So the Vatican has control over this beastly system, and the overseer is bringing it out. Now, to, again, prove that the overseer is the righteous servant of Yahweh, he is being a light for the Gentiles, not only for us. He's here to tell the people of the world, this is what your sins are going to cause. This is what's going to come upon you. This is what's going to take place. And time and time and time again, he has brought out news articles that have proven Yahweh's word true. We believe without seeing. This information that he's given is given to the world. And this article just came out in 2016. Venezuela's government accepts proposal for Vatican mediation in the crisis. So they actually recognize that the Vatican has the power. They need to bow down to the Vatican in order to bring their economy back into place. Now, again, the overseer continues to bring this out, and he says also in the Going On to Perfection series that he continues to say that the oil and the wine is exactly where the power is, where the information, where the money is. And one of the things that he brought out was the petrodollar. Okay, the overseer brought out about the petrodollar. This was set up by the second beast, which is the United States. The United States set up the petrodollar in order to control the oil of the world. And the Saudi Arabia and the Middle Eastern countries agreed to this petrodollar system. Well, then came the wars. There came the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Yemen, all these wars that are in the Middle East, and these people are saying that this petrodollar, it is, all it's doing is paying for these wars. So the latest articles are China launches a petro yuan in order to overcome the petrodollar, and Russia and Venezuela mull using petro cryptocurrency in international transactions. These countries are saying, we do not want to have this control. Again, this is leading to the prophecy of the nuclear bomb. And it's going to be a showdown, as, again, the koan brought out. And I want you to remember Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. For if you will not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. We have heard from the overseer. He brought this out. We must watch. We must pay attention. Take notes. Revelation 11:17, saying, we give you thanks, O Father Yahweh Almighty, who is and was and is to come, because you have given your great power and have begun to reign. This is what we have to look forward to. This is what we need to do. And with that, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. So a few days before the feast, before we left to come here, I was cleaning and koshering my house, and I had the House of Yahweh online radio station playing, and Pastor said something that caught my attention, and I didn't know what sermon date it was because it was on the radio, so, you know, I went flying through my house to find something to write down what he said so that I would remember it, because it went right along with the theme for the feast. And so he said, it went something like this. People hate that word serving, and I know why. Satan puts it in people's minds to hate it, but it's the most satisfying thing a person can do. And so then it brought to my remembrance Acts 20:35. Many of this has already been brought out. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of Yahshua Messiah, how he said, and this is the important part, it's all important, but this is the part I'm focusing on, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be waited on, but to serve, and to give his life for his ransom, his life as a ransom for many. So I wanted to know more about, you know, this serving and how serving benefits us. Because other than just the obvious reasons, right? You help somebody, you serve them, you feel great about that, they get helped and whatnot. So I looked up to see if there had been any scientific research done on this. And one of the deaconesses touched on this. I'm going to go a little bit deeper into it. And there's a few articles I'm going to go over. These were scientific research done on people in the world that volunteer, and they help and they serve others in many different areas. They follow people that work in soup kitchens, you know, and all of this is non-paid work, volunteer work. They've helped in nursing homes and things like that. And so this first one, and we're going to have to go through this quickly, so sorry if I talk fast, but the title of this is called Three Specific Ways That Helping Others Benefits Your Brain. Okay. A new study suggests that giving social support to others may benefit the giver more than the receiver on a neurobiological level. The researchers used, and the deaconess talked about this, MRI brain imaging to pinpoint three specific brain benefits of giving social support to others. So this was a 2016 study. It was called The Neurobiology of Giving Versus Receiving Support, the Role of Stress-Related and Social Reward-Related Neural Activity. All right, so researchers conducted a series of MIR neuroimaging tests to explore the neural mechanisms of how specific brain areas were affected by giving, or serving, right, versus receiving social support. And they found that giving ultimately had greater brain benefits than the one receiving. So there were three specific brain areas that benefited. And the first one is it reduced stress-related activity in certain parts of the brain. They give various scientific terms of the brain, and it's really hard to pronounce. All right, the second one is greater reward-related activity in the left and right parts of the brain. And then the third one was greater caregiving-related activity in the septal areas. And they said in all of these brain areas, MRI scans showed specific activation when a participant was giving the support but not receiving the support. So when you're serving, you actually, you know, activate these three specific areas of the brain, and that help and strengthen the brain. All right, so it says these changes within the brain help to explain why giving support has multiple health benefits. All right, so the second research, it's very long. It's called Project Helping. I just picked out one quote out of this very long research because for time's sake, but it was I thought it was a great quote. And this was from the director of the Penn Positive Psychology Center. And he says, and remember, this is research that he's done following people that serve other people or volunteering. Doing a kindness produces the single most reliable increase in well-being for the doer of any exercise we've tested. So they found that that is very beneficial as well. This third article that I'm going to talk about is called, the headline is The Science of Good Deeds. And the subtitle says, The Helper's High Could Help You Live a Longer, Healthier Life. And the Helper's High is the science term for, you know, whenever you're volunteering, you're helping, you're serving others, you've got these changes that go on in your body, these health benefits, and they call it the Helper's High. Okay, and so this is the focus of 50 scientific studies funded through the Institute for Research on Unlimited Love, and then they give the research behind it. But it says it's a comprehensive investigation on compassion, generosity, and kindness. All right? And skip through this. University researchers began following 427 married women with children. They assumed that the housewives with more children would be under greater stress and die earlier than the women with fewer children. Surprisingly, they found that the numbers of children, education, class, and work status did not affect longevity. After following these women for 30 years, researchers found that 52% of those who did not volunteer had experienced a major illness, compared with 36% who did volunteer. Now, two large studies found that the older adults who volunteered reaped benefits in their health and well-being, and those who volunteered were living longer than those non-volunteers. And another large study found a 44% reduction in early death among those who volunteered a lot. And that was a greater effect than exercising four times per week. Okay, so then it talks about when we engage in, and they say good deeds, I'm going to say serving. When we engage in serving, we reduce our own stress. This is all from the research I'm reading here, including the physiological changes that occur when we are stressed. During this stress response, hormones like cortisol are released and our heart and our breathing rate increases, and that's what we call the fight or flight response. If this stress response remains turned on for an extended period of time, now the immune and the cardiovascular system are adversely affected. It weakens the body's defenses, making it more susceptible to abnormal cellular changes. So it also can lead to premature aging. Okay, so, but what they found was with this helper's high that they call when you're serving others that you get, your body gets, it says it seems to gain dominance over the stress response. And they summed this whole research up at the end, and they said, and remember, this whole thing is based on people that are serving that they followed. They said that they found the best way to get rid of bitterness, anger, rage, jealousy is to do unto others in a positive way. It's as though you somehow have to cast out negative emotions that are clearly associated with stress, and you cast them out with the help of positive emotions by helping others, by serving others. So I want to conclude with this quote from the 11th book of Israel, part 2, and pastor said, that's a beautiful word. The word slave, as Yahshua was to his people, praise Yahweh, that way you will have your mind on serving instead of your selfish self. You'll be wanting to serve others instead of desiring that someone serve you. You'll be wanting to serve others, and you will be served in the process. It works that simply. You will be served in the process. So when you're serving your body on levels that we didn't even know that Yahweh put in there from the very beginning, because he knew that if we did what he said, if we learn to serve, we are serving ourselves. We're serving our health. We're serving our brains. We're serving everything in us on ways and levels that we never knew. But, you know, Pastor said it, Yeshua said it, science backs it up as they usually do, right? So we need to focus on the serving so we can keep ourselves mentally healthy and strong and live better lives and help others in the process. So praise Yahweh. I look forward to serving with you all the rest of this feast and for all eternity. May Yahweh bless you. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may all be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I went into the year 2018 knowing how Daniel felt. I really did. As you know, Daniel is a very wise prophet, and Yahweh used him greatly. And one thing he did a lot was interpret dreams. And if it wasn't for Yahweh, he couldn't do it. And even when he saw visions, he couldn't go to sleep because it was on his mind. It was on his mind. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because he sought wisdom so much, and he sought to understand Yahweh's plan. Well, Roman date, 12/31/17. Last year, 12/31/17. I do my usual thing, you know, call, let them know, yesterday I'll be heading here, I'll be doing this, I'll be doing that. And it's my supervisor, pastor. So I'm just like, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, it's your usual routine, you know, just to give him the rundown of what I'm going to be doing today. And I don't think he heard me. All that was on his mind was the dream he had. And he had a dream. He explained to me, and the minute pastor says, any word that comes out of pastor's mouth, even if he says, I want you to take the car and drive here and pick up this, I mean, your ears is like, listen closely. So pastor explains his dream, and he says, I had this dream. I was sitting at my desk, my usual desk. And, you know, it's an honor because we have the exact same desk pastor uses. He was sitting at his desk, and he knew he was getting ready to write his sermon. So he reached over, and as he reached over, the voice came to his mind, and he said he knew it was Yahweh's telling him something. And Yahweh said to him, you need to remind them about 2:15. So he reached over, and he tapped. Because right here is a stack of index card. As big as this. 6x4. He tapped. And when he does that, because he does that all the time, so when he does that, immediately a card would slip out. And he'll grab it, he'll write his notes. But he said that it was strange this time, because when he tapped, two cards came out. And I said, okay. And that was it. And I'm like, because he's asking me, like, what does that mean? Or, like, he just wanted to let me know so he doesn't forget that he dreamt that. But, of course, I'm like, oh, my word, he just had a vision. He just had a dream from Yahweh. So I'm like, I'm trying to remember every single detail that he said. And hopefully I remembered everything else he told me to go do after that, too. but I tried to remember that dream, and it was on my mind. And I know I don't interpret it, but I love to just see it come to life. If I could know the dream, and then when he says, and it came to light, I'm like, yes! You know, that excitement? But it was on my mind. It was on my mind. And I was like, oh, this is how Daniel feels. This is exactly how Daniel feels. So my first, you know, I thought I would attempt to just see, what does it mean? What does it mean? So I looked up the date. 12/31. It means depopulation. And I'm like, what does depopulation have to do with two cards? And I was like, okay, well, let's stick to the numbers. 2:15. And I'm just like, oh, that has nothing to do with the dream, with two cards. So I'm like, well, you know what? That's why pastor is the one to interpret. I'm like, okay. I'll just wait. Went through the Strongs, went through the Gematria. Still nothing. So I said, okay, I'll wait. And a few weeks later, pastor was talking about the calendar. He said, I have an idea. I'm working on this calendar thing. And I'm kind of like, oh, really? And I'm like, how do you do all that, like, before feast? I mean, you're changing the world system. I mean, how do you really... Well, with Yahweh, anything's possible. So I said, in my mind, because this dream is in my head, you know, that pastor told me, I said, I bet you that dream has to do with the calendar. And I kept on telling him. He said, well, then work on some stuff and see how it connects. And I'm like, I did. Nothing connected to anything but depopulation. So, I'm like, okay. Well, let me type in the word calendar. Let me type in the word sacred calendar. I did everything in the Gematria. I mean, I had so many windows open, I was getting confused. What did I search and what did I not search? I added numbers to see the letters we added. I'm just like, this is crazy. What am I doing? So I said, okay, relax, forget it. It means the interpretation will come. The interpretation will come. And the interpretation never came. And 2:15 on the calendar was coming. And I'm like, something is going to occur big on 2:15. Yes, that's what it is. 2:15, something big is going to occur. And I told Pastor, something big is going to occur on 2:15. And he's like, well, what usually occurs on 2:15? Like last year, every year? And I'm like, you plant potatoes? You make sure potatoes are planted in the ground on 2:15? That's all I can remember you do every year, that you always remind everybody. So 2:14 came. And I was so upset because 2:14 came right before 2:15. And guess what occurred on 2:14 if you listen to the timeline? The printing of the calendar came out. And I was like, darn, couldn't you wait for one more day? Then I could have said 2:15 was the calendar, pastor. That's what your dream was about. But it came on 2:14 and I couldn't get 2:15 to link up to 2:14. So I gave up again. I said, you know what? It was the potatoes. Yep, that's what it was. Because 1 week after, Pastor told me, I forgot about those potatoes. And I'm like, yeah, that's why Yahweh reminded you 2 times with the card. 2:15, plant my potatoes for my people. We're finally planting now. Hello? Did you remember? I'm like, yeah, that's what it was. 2:15 was the potatoes. It was the potatoes. I mean, that's really all that it was. I'm sure Daniel was very disappointed in me trying to interpret this dream. So, I said it was the potatoes. And a new moon came, and I was excited. I was excited for new moon. That was the first new moon we were going to keep with Yahweh's calendar. And Pastor made a beautiful showing that day, very unusual. 40,000 hits on Facebook, I heard, rumor, but I think it was very true. And everybody tuned in, and I was just like, oh man, this is awesome. Totally forgot about 2:15. And then, of course, I see this, you know, pastor speaking about this timeline, and I'm like, why you gotta speak about the calendar, the timeline? Because 2:14 was a day off from 2:15, so I was getting aggravated again. And then that night, I couldn't help it. I had to call him. I said, pastor, what is this 2:15 got to do with the calendar? He's like, well, did you figure something out? I said, no, I didn't, but it has to do with the calendar. So that night, before I put my head down, I got a phone call. And he said, look up 4:30. I'm like, 4:30? I'm like, when did I say 4:30? And I'm like, why? He's like, well, did you consider this? I want you to look at this screen here. I was amazed. 2 cards. And pastor was told, remind them about 2:15. So I looked up 4:30. And I said, okay, this guy, that means he already looked it up. So I'm like, okay, I'm coming, teacher. Okay, 4:30 in the Hebrews. If you look at it, it goes to the next page. Because it says, gods, the supreme gods, it applied, and it explained and explained and explained, and actually gives you every detail about the word God. And remember that the calendar, we were getting rid of all the gods. And this explained, if you look up 430 in Hebrews, it explained even to the very details, and if you go through the next numbers too, how at 433 as well, just explains over and over about these gods and the names and how they came about. I mean, I'm like, when did Strong start educating people about the name God? I don't remember that. But when you look at the Greek, this is what's amazing. If you connect that meaning of the word 430 in the Hebrews as gods into the meaning of the Greek, it says, to hold oneself up against. That's Zerubbabel. We are against Babylon. Pastor Jehoiakim, along with the house of Yahweh, we are against the gods. This 430. Do you realize that?
I was like,
I knew it. I knew what it had to do with the calendar. But I just don't know how to connect the pieces. Because Pastor, it's him. It's him that connects the glue together. It's him who can, that Yahweh inspires. We're just a hearer of his voice. But the one to teach it and explain it is definitely Pastor. And remember that in Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 12, Yahweh says already, Yahweh already told him from the very beginning, before he was even born, that there are no gods beyond Yahweh. There's no God. There's no power. And I want you to, when you get the time, I want you to read. Because just like the dreams that Pastor has that inspires him, Yahweh inspires us through the visions that his apostles, prophets write. In Revelation 21, verses 9, I would like for you all to read from 9 to 22. Because if you remember, this, the title says, The Lamb's Wife, Yahweh Shema. It's the vision. It's the vision that Yochanan was given of how Yahweh Shema would be. And then jump down to verse 22, because this is one of the details of Yahweh Shema. And I saw no pagan, God-worshipping, Elohim-worshipping, no godly calendar, right? In that sanctuary, the house of Yahweh, the body of Messiah was in it. We are the body of Messiah. We partook of it. We have no inkling of God worship. And we are envisioned in this Shema of Yahweh's. So keep that in mind and let's get all the God worship out. Let's remember that Yahweh inspires everything in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. If you all please stand, I'd like to hand it over to another great teacher who knows a lot about numbers too, the great Kohana.
Praise Yahweh, and welcome home, my family. Praise Yahweh. The title, you may be seated, the title and the question I have for you and the title is, do you rest content in the house of Yahweh, just as Nora did? Preparing for the feast, I know we all examined ourselves. And I went to, or Yahweh led me to, I should say, to the ninth book of Israel, Yeshua's Memorial. And it's chapter 12, verse 22. And there it reads, and he's talking about Yeshua, where David wrote of Yeshua. For David spoke, here's some of the things that were spoken about him that he fulfilled, Yeshua fulfilled. David spoke saying, Yeshua said, I have set Yahweh always before me, for I am at his right hand, that I may not be shaken. And I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I could not get that out of my mind. And I said to myself, do I always set Yahweh before me? Or is that sometimes why I'm shaken, is because I don't set Yahweh before me? We're going to see that Nora always set Yahweh before herself also when she was called out of that deep, dark sin just as we all were. In Acts 2:25, it reads, Acts 2:25, it says, where he said once again, for David spoke concerning himself, I have always set Yahweh before me. And that's taken from Psalm 16. The same place that it shows that we will not say the names of hinder gods, or the gods left behind. We will not say their names. And if we always set Yahweh before us, we will not say those names. We will not act the way the world does. We come out of this world, we will always set Yahweh, his laws before us so that we will know how to walk. Now today is Yahweh 16. And if we all remember, at Pentecost last year, on 6-1, the overseer presented us with the 16th book of Israel. And he told us, 16 is a great number. He said, look up that number. He said it means to rest content. So at Yeshua's memorial this year, when Pastor was speaking, and he brought up Nora, and how the memorial toward Nora would be. And I have a sign here that I want you to look at. It just has the name Nora. But it's in Matithia 26, verse 13. You notice how I emphasize the 6:13. Even where Nora is spoken about, it shows her character of how she grabbed onto those laws. And in Matithia 26:13, it says, truly I say to you, wherever this message will be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial for her. And I kept thinking as I went home that night about Nora. And I thought, there must be more that I can see about Nora. So I said, why don't I just put it in the gematria and see what Yahweh says about Nora? So I did. Nora, there's three numbers, 179, 336, 56, and the total combination of those is 571. In this, you will see what Nora had on her mind and how she was changing her way as the greatest teacher that walked upon this face of this earth, as the overseer always lifts up our great high priest, Yeshua Messiah, how he taught her. So in Hebrews 1:79, it comes from the number 56, which is one of those other numbers. So two of those numbers mean the same thing. It means mournful. It goes back to the word Abel, to bewail, lament, mourn, mourning for the dead by the gates. Now remember, in the house of Yahweh established, you will find this word, Abel, 56, and it talks about the mourning. So you see how Nora did mourn, not only for herself and her own sins, but she learned to have that care and compassion that we were told that we must have in these last days for this whole world that is suffering at this time. But we can't just mourn. We need to prepare to teach them, just as Nora did, as we will see. In the Greek, 179 comes from 2647, and it means indissolvable, permanent, endless. It goes to Hebrews 7:16. If you want to turn to Hebrews 7:16, it says, who has become a priest, not on the basis of command concerning his physical ancestry, but on the basis of the doctrine that leads to eternal life. And it's talking about Yeshua Messiah here. It says, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it goes on to explain in this here, in the Greek 179, it means a life which makes its possessor the holder of his priestly office forevermore. So we see that Nora kept everything that Yeshua taught her. She knew who he was, and she knew the prophecies. And it also goes from 2596, to loosen or to demolish. And isn't that what Yeshua did for us? He demolished that death penalty that was hanging over our head. It also goes to Greek 2596, which means to be joined daily, to have that measure, to magnify it, to be exceedingly more excellent. And remember that measuring line that's in the hand of Zerubbabel right now, that plummet, is the book of Yahweh. That's the measuring line he measures everything by, just as his high priest, our high priest, taught him to. And the Greek 336, it meant the act of killing or death or being put to death. And Nora knew that Yeshua would be put to death. She knew the prophecies of him, and she prepared him for that. She was a great servant to him. But then it goes on to, it says to go to the Greek 303. And here it shows that she not only knew the prophecies of the high priest Yeshua, she also understood the prophecies of the seventh Malach, the branch in these last days, where it says, every man, repetition, a measure of quantity with a distributive force, not a forcing of you have to do this, but a force of energy that the overseer gives in bringing forth the words of Yahweh, distributing it to the whole world, and then setting it before them so that they could have that choice. It says, every man a penny. And don't we have that penny? Don't we have that great 1 cent? And it goes to 138, which means to take for oneself, to prefer, to choose the overseer, that chosen branch that Yahweh chose. And it also goes to 142, to expiate sin or to get rid of sin. It says also in that same definition that Yahweh raises up so the branch can be fruitful. He has done his job. He continues to do his job with great zeal. And it also goes to number 539, which means stability, certainty, truth. And that's what he said, that if the churches really wanted to fill up their pews, they would learn the truth. They would teach the truth. But you know what then? They wouldn't be there then either. They would be here. They would be filling up this room. We'd be filling the whole world with righteousness. And it also means to be permanent, to go to the right hand, a place into which a peg will be driven so that it will be immovable. The peg will remain anchored firmly, even though it is pushed so hard that it breaks off at the point of entry. That is that oath and that vow that we took, that we would love the house of Yahweh more than all else when we had our ear old. When he was asked, do you love the house of Yahweh? He said, yes, I do. And what was he told to do? Feed my sheep. And he was asked again, do you love the house of Yahweh? He says, yeah, I do. And he's told again, then feed my sheep. And once again, Yeshua asked him, do you love the house of Yahweh? He said, he said, yes, I do. Then what? Feed my sheep. We must do this just as Nora also did. She did her work in her day. She had that memorial about her. We are the Noras of today. And we must also support and help the great overseer of the house of Yahweh, Israel Abel Hawkins, to do his work. That's our service to him and his service to the world. Also, I would like now for you to look at another picture. We know that Nora knew about the overseer. She knew about the prophecy of Yeshua, which takes us to Zechariah. Zechariah 6:13. That talks about the branch and Yeshua, Israel and Yeshua. Let's turn there on Zechariah 6:13 on page 719. It says, yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both. Now look at this here, again here. You see Yahshua, and you see Yisrael. Yahweh, the first part of that work was Yahshua, then the branch working together. Means Yael, Yahweh is our strength, that 613 laws and prophecies. May we ever serve one another and build up the house of Yahweh just as our last days anointed witness has taught us, so that we can serve the world as he has served us so greatly. And would we please stand? And I'm going to turn it over right now to a great servant in Yahweh's house, the great head judge, Simonia.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I would like to begin with asking one question, and be honest, please. How many of us has ever turned in a work order? I should see all the hands. Seriously. Right? Whenever I turn in a work order, I am always told, women break more stuff faster than YH can build it. We break more stuff faster than YH can build it. So today I'm going to try to prove that even though we break stuff, we can also build stuff. You with me? So let's go building, sisters. Please, I would like you to please take your time and write the definitions and the meanings of these words. It is a lot, but please try to keep up. Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. I have always loved this scripture from the beginning of times, because to me, when I look at it, it's like a personal note that Yeshua wrote to us in these last days. Our potential, what we can become. Our importance in the great plan of Yahweh. So beginning in verse 7, it says, "And to the Malach of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shut, and shuts and no man open. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." In verse 9, he continued to say at the ending, "And they will understand that I love you." Verse 10, "Because you have kept my word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptations, which will come upon the world to test those who dwell upon the earth." When I read that verse there, it stood out to me because it reminded me of Psalms 91. Please turn with me to Psalms 91 very quickly, and then we'll go back to Revelation chapter 3. Psalms 91. And it says, "Under your shadow, O Yahweh," page 470. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow." The shadow is a protection of the things to come, as Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, of the Almighty. Verse 2, "We will say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress." Notice those two words, refuge and fortress. We have been told time and time again, when you read the book of Yahweh, do not just read the words. Meditate upon it. Look up the meanings of the words so you can get where they are coming from. So you can fully understand what they are saying. So I looked up refuge. And it says, "To be safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble." Right? Remember verse 10 in Revelation chapter 3, he said, "I will keep you in the hour of temptation." And the synonyms for refuge is shelter, protection, safety, sanctuary. And so help me, Yahweh. I know you have a sense of humor. He put tent city. I found that was hilarious. So now the next word, fortress. A heavily protected and impenetrable building. not susceptible to outside influence or disturbance. Synonyms are castle or stronghold. When you think about a castle, you think of something magnificent, something imposing, a mansion, the home of nobility. And we, sisters, are the nobility in the house of Yahweh, the royal priesthood set aside. And a fortress is like a fortified residence where you dwell, where family dwells, your home. So that is what Psalms 91 is saying. Yahweh is our fortress and our refuge. Verse 3 and 4 and 5 goes on to say he will protect us from the disease, the wars. Continuing verse 7, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 will fall at your right, but it will not come near you. Verse 8, only with your eyes you would look and you will see the reward of the wicked, all the God worshippers, those who came against Yahweh's name and his prophets. They will get their reward. Verse 9, you have made Yahweh your refuge. That's that word again. Because you have made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh. Verse 10, no evil will befall you. Nor will any plague come near your dwelling. And where's our dwelling, sisters? The house of Yahweh, the protected place in these last days, the protection of things to come. Going back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the house of my Father. He will never go out of it, never ever depart from this secret place. So now, when I was reading verse 12, right? The word pillar, it really, really, really stood out. Okay, he said, if you overcome, you will become a pillar in his house. So I looked up the word pillar, and it means a support for a building, a person or thing regarded as reliable, a positive character trait, reliable, providing essential support for something. Also, I looked it up in Strong's Hebrew Concordance, and pillar is, in the Greek, is number, word number 2476. Okay, pillar in Strong's Hebrew Concordance in the Greek, under the Greek, is number 4769. And it means support, a pillar. And it comes from number 2476. So when you look that up in the Greek, it says to stand. Stand, set. Establish, abide, appoint, bring, continue, covenant, hold up, lay present. Isn't that a beautiful meaning, sisters? That is what we will become if we remain in the house of Yahweh and never go out, a pillar. In the past, Overseer spoke about pillars, and he said, a pillar is important to a house to keep it upright, to never fail or to fall, to remain strong. It is a job and a position. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, found on page 917. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19, verses. Chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. So it says, therefore, now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, the members of the house of Yahweh, and are built on the foundation. Listen to the foundation of the house of Yahweh, the apostles and the prophets. Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole house, being fitly joined together by Yahweh's unity, grows into the holy house of Yahweh. And in him you are also being built to gather to become the house of Yahweh through the Spirit of the Lords of Yahweh. So there we go. We have our building being set. We have the foundations, which is the apostles and the prophets. And also, we have the chief cornerstone, another pillar in the house of Yahweh, because he was without sin. So we have the cornerstone. We also have the pillar. Zechariah chapter 6. Overseer used this recently, up to yesterday. Reading from verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. So you have Yeshua beholding the branch. For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. The branch will build the house of Yahweh in these last days. So we have another pillar, Israel Hawkins. Remember, your pillars are your jobs and your positions. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh and bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be the priest upon his throne, and his council of priests will be between them both. So sisters, we have the foundation, we have the cornerstone, we have the pillars that holds up the house. Right? And to be qualified to be this pillar, what must you do? It is written in the same verse 11. Verse 12, you must overcome. You must flee from all forms of God worship, sisters. It must not be among us. And this is the last stage, as Overseer explained, that we must go through to be so solid, so strong, nothing will move you from the house of Yahweh. We have to reach that position and be able to drink of the cup of Yeshua. Time is of the essence. In Yakadan chapter 14, verse 2, it says, In my father's house there are many mansions, offices, positions, jobs. If this were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, sisters. The pillars that hold the house up. Can you have a house without the pillars? No. Imagine the sanctuary without pillars. The roof would be on your head. It would. So sisters, I urge you, even though women break a lot of stuff, we can build. Help us build this house. Become servants. Bring forth righteous fruit in these last days. And with that, I thank you for your time, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom again, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Okay, let me ask you a question. Many, many years ago, there was a time period where Yahweh gave the prophecies. Many, many years ago. In the year 2864 years after creation, something occurred. Check your books of Israel or your books of Yahweh. You wrote it down somewhere, because the overseer said, write it down next to 1 Samuel chapter 8. In that time frame, so many years after creation, some of our forefathers, elders of Israel, you know the story well. They went to Samuel and they said to him, Samuel, you're so old now. And your sons so-and-so, and the women come to do their offering, and your sons so-and-so. You know it well. The overseer uses it very much. He gives us the example. So give us a king to rule over us. We want to learn how to do the nuclear bombs. We want to learn how to make the mother of all bombs, father of all bombs. Samuel, you're too old now. So that hurt Samuel's feelings. He went to Yahweh, and Yahweh said to him, no, Samuel. Don't take this thing so personally. You remember that, right?
It's not you, Samuel. It is me that they don't want to rule over them anymore. You remember that? So, Samuel said, okay. So Yahweh said, Samuel, but look at it though, because soon you will see that there is no justice in the land. Soon, in our time from now, it will become, there will be no justice in the land. So today I want to talk about the remnant of Yahweh. The remnant of Yahweh. I heard it used a couple of times yesterday on the great priest. The remnant of Yahweh, because Yahweh said, Isaiah, it was written in Isaiah 1:9. Isaiah 1:9 and referenced in, I think, Romans 9:29. Referenced there for us. That Yahweh said, it was said, if Yahweh had not left us a remnant, he did not say, listen to the power in that verse. He did not say, if so-and-so had not left a remnant for me, Yahweh, or if I had not asked so-and-so to leave me a remnant, if Yahweh himself had not left a remnant, do you know where that remnant can be found? If Yahweh says he has left a remnant, then has Yahweh left a remnant? Absolutely. So, remnant. And not only here, remember, there are 2 billion being gathered too. Remnant as well. True or false? Yes. Yahweh's remnant. So Yahweh said to Samuel, just see, no justice soon. So then, in the year 2015, June 26, the Supreme Court of America say, you know what they said? Marry who you want. You can marry who you want. I don't want to. Marry who you want. You understand? But the rest of that scripture in Isaiah 1:9 said, or Romans 9:29 says the rest of it. If Yahweh had not left the remnant, then we would all be like, you know the thing already. Very nice. So June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court of America say, do you see it? Yahweh had said it. How can you make a proper, faithful decision if your brain is clogged with microorganisms that are totally against Yahweh's way, that are fighting against the power of Yahweh? How can you make a fair decision? You cannot. There will be no justice in the land, said Great Father Yahweh. So, when they made the decision, the Great One sent our great overseer, Israel Hawkins. He said, see what they did. Just like some of our forefathers in 1 Samuel 8, they made their stand against Yahweh. We don't want Yahweh to rule over us. So June 26, 2015, they say the same thing. And if Yahweh had not left the remnant, they are all like that. True or false? So they said, okay, let's take off the Ten Commandments they had at the front of some school over there. Remember the news was on the news? And this person said, they're going to remove the Ten Commandments. And you know what I did? I brought my scale today. Can you see my scale? No justice in the land. Can you see my scale from where you are? And I want to do Yahweh on my scale a little bit. Let's say I want to see it. Scale, you don't want. Let's say that's Yahweh. The power of Yahweh, of course. And how did I feel when they said, let's take off the Ten Commandments? Why would you want to take off the Ten Commandments from the school? Because, as the great Kohana said, Venezuela has oil. So if we want to get Venezuela's oil, we'll have to steal it, somewhere technically. So don't let the children learn anything about stealing. Honor your parents. Take it off. Why would you do that? So how did I feel? So here's my Yahweh and my heavy part of my skill right here. You see? It goes down. And then I got a feather to show how I felt. So here's my feather right here. It doesn't even touch the concept of Yahweh. So I blow it away from the scale and it falls down. You see? If it has no effect on the concept, the power of Yahweh's way is so heavy. Do you see? So I thought, well, let's come home. Because justice begins at the house of Yahweh. Justice begins at the house of Yahweh. True or false? Yes, because we are also Yahweh's remnant. So let me ask you, sisters. How's your forgiving doing? How's your forgiving doing? When I come to you and I say to you, please forgive me, do you take it and leave a record of it so that when I come to ask you something 10 years after that, you'll say to yourself, no, she had done that. And you won't give me a fair decision? Or other relationships in Yahweh's great house? How's our forgiving doing? So let's say, and Yahweh says, but I forgive her. I threw that thing in the ocean. I don't remember it anymore. Why are you bringing it up again? And they say, well, what they say, forgive, but what? Forgive, but don't forget. Is that how Father Yahweh forgives us? No. But let me tell you something else. What do you think it does to ourselves when we don't forgive our sister? You heard the wonderful thing of how serving benefits the person who's serving. So let's say, let's have Yahweh on the path. The heavy one is Yahweh over here. Can you see that? Tell me how your forgiving is going with your sisters. Let's put this one. It moved Yahweh a little. Is your forgiveness like a little bit like Yahweh doing nice? Because we have become like Yahweh the power, our father. True or false? True, nice. See that? How's your forgiveness doing? Put some more so to show you forgiving more like Yahweh the power. Yes, let's put some more. You see that? So the more weight I'm putting here, showing how nice our forgiveness is doing, so much it is going to be like balanced off until we become great like Father Yahweh. Do you see it, sisters? Yes. Now let me ask you something again. How's your Yahweh's in full control doing? When the great one sent says, Yahweh is in full control. And when everything is going nice for you, you have a loud clap. Everything is going nice your way. And when things not so nice your way, and the great one sent says, Yahweh is in full control, you're like, do you know what I'm talking about, sisters? It's not a foreign thing. How's it doing? Yahweh's in full control. So when you weigh it on the balance, because Yahweh says when you weigh it on the balance, how much of Yahweh, how much like Yahweh is it really? How are Yahweh's in full control? And one last one I want to come up with is the long-suffering. How's your long-suffering doing? How many times does your sister offend you and you're just bearing it? How long can you keep it? How strong are you in Yahweh's way that you have a support as we hit the foundation? And the great overseer said about Iyob, he said, what if Yahweh had placed the situation where Iyob was offended? What did Iyob do? How much do we weigh ourselves on the balance, great Yahweh's way?
That's my idea for us today. How much do you weigh yourself on the balance, Great Yahweh's way, remnant of Yahweh? We have to get to the point where Yahweh is on that heavy part right there. The laws of Yahweh, his way, is powerful, strong, a strong tower. And how many weights we put to balance off to Yahweh, you see? Scale, don't fall. See that? The more studies, the more serving, and everything that we'll do helps us to become more like Yahweh, our Father. Do you see it? Praise Yahweh. And with this, I will turn over to the great last speaker, Rachel Jones.
Shalom, you may be seated. The title of my speech is Building a House. What foundation are we standing on? So I was looking for some foundation to start building my house, and here's one that was readily available, really cheap prices, and they have lots of lots for sale. So, you know, you can go there and you can, you know, if you're anybody wanting to build a house with me, hope so. So we're building an eternal house here. So I went shopping and here was the world. So I want you to get this in your mind. You got the world. And then there was another place that had some lots for sale. Ah, looking a little better there. The work. Okay, so I want you to remember, because there's only two places you can build your house. So you only have two choices. It's not like you can say, well, I'm going to build here. You know, I've got these like hills and trees and beautiful like lakefront property. No, it's either the world or the work. Only two. All right? And every choice builds our future. Okay? So I want you to remember that as we get into this. Every choice builds our future. Now, I'm going to start out in Psalm. It says in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless Yahweh builds the house, he who builds it labors in vain. Yes. So the work or the world? The work or the world? Now, when we build our houses here, we're building it through one thing, and that is through service. So when we're building through service. I want everyone to remember that. Now, I got a quote from the Mark of the Beast, Volume 2, Chapter 17. And when I laid my eyes on this, I knew that this had to be something that we read today. And Pastor wrote, does it not seem strange that anyone could turn against a Heavenly Father whose intentions are to build righteous character in his children and then to share all works with all, create all the works of creation with them? Read that again. Does it not seem strange that anyone could turn against a Heavenly Father? So Pastor's saying, it's really strange that somebody could turn against a Father that's desiring to build righteousness in you and then share everything that he owns with you. But yet some still do it. Now, obviously you haven't because you're still sitting here, right? But the thing, the very sad thing is there's people that were sitting here last feast that are not sitting here this feast. And they were shaking their heads. Yes, we want to build on that lot, that the work of Yahweh lot. We don't want to build on the lot that says the world. Now, we got to consider if we're building our houses through service, what kind of servant are we? You know, I'm going to give a little scenario because there's a servant. You can have a servant. This is not a real servant. This is a made up thing. There's a servant who they want to be over everything. They want to see their name on the top of this and on the top of that. But then when all the workers are looking for them to get their instruction, they're nowhere to be found. And they go and they ask the fellow servants, they're going to ask the ones that are where? Remember? Among. Remember, I find my place among. Among. Now, among is not a nationality. Among. Among those who serve, okay? Among those who serve. Write that down on your paper because if I can give you a takeaway, I want you to remember the word among. Among. That's key. Because when I need something, I'm going to tell you who I call. Well, anyway, why don't you take a guess? Who do I call? I call the pastor because he's always among us. Do you know, I was driving down to get the House of Yahweh mail the other day, and guess who was directing traffic while they were putting up signs? No, no, take a wild guess. I know it's hard. Okay, shout it out. Yeah, and I took a picture of him because I was like, is that Israel Hawkins directing traffic down on 254 and Abel Drive? I was like, oh, this is so exciting. I grabbed my camera and rolled down my window, and he said, what are you doing here? So I kept driving, hurry, got my mail, but I got a couple pictures in real quick. Got back to the office, and they were putting up a sign, and the sign said, South Office, register here, women, something like that. And guess who was helping put up the sign? Oh, come on, you can do it, guess. Yeah, I got a picture of that too. Okay, so they didn't see me, but I opened the blinds and I was snapping all kinds of pictures through my window in the South Office watching the overseer help put up a sign. Among! He was among! He was among. Now, he could have said, because like he's like the top servant, he could have said, so-and-so, I need you to get over there and get that sign hung up right now. No, he was helping. His hands, those Moloch's hands, were on that pole. I got a picture. I got a couple pictures. They probably thought I was stalking. I hope they didn't see me because I flipped up the blinds and I was like taking a bunch of pictures. I'm going to show them to you. Hopefully, I didn't bring them with me today, but I got them. Hopefully, they'll be in the calendar or the Book of Israel or something, because we're going to put them in there. Because you got to see that he's among. He's among. So anytime I've ever needed something, that's who I call. You know why I call him? Because I know he'll do it. I don't even have to think, you know, I wonder, you know, I need a prayer request today. I wonder if, who could I call for that? Pastor. Pastor, we need a prayer request for so-and-so. Can you call me later? I'm a little busy. No, he would never do that because he's among us, among those who serve. Now, in the next Mark of the Beast, I kept flying through there. You know, I was reading it because the great Kahan Yedidia said, you got to read the Mark of the Beast. And I got to tell you something about servants. You know, there were two guys, they were servants, and one of them always came in the South Office, and he would bang on the counter like this. And then there was one sidekick that he worked with, and there was a little bell there that you would ring when you wanted, and if we weren't like right at the counter, ding, 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 ding. And this is what taught me, don't ever get aggravated with the people that serve you and serve with you and that you have to serve. I don't always remember that lesson, so you can remind me every now and again, okay? Just in case. Well, Kahan Yedidia was one of them. And I was talking to a sister the other day, and I said, the bell ringer fell away, and the counter banger has been taken from us right now. And we said, what we wouldn't give to hear that bell ring and hear that counter bang, right? So, you know, even though we might have our little faults, the guys right now, they're going, if she bangs on that and blows our mics, I'm going to be really mad, but I'm among you. Just letting you know I'm here. Okay, next book of it, Mark of the Beast, part 2, chapter 17, and it says, in fact, Yahweh will not give eternal life to anyone who will not, by choice, completely submit to Yahweh's laws. Yahweh is building the totally righteous character in those whom he's calling out now. This is special character, not special like, oh, she's special. No, not like that. Not like that. It's a special serving character. Special. It's a special character. The person who has this character will not be defiled by Satan's lies. You remember when Pastor told us that just the other day again? You know, they might get on your nerves, but they're among you and they're serving with you. Now, who is the one doing this building? Does anyone know? Who's building us in this time period? Yes, yes. So turn to Zechariah chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Zechariah 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, "Then I said to the Moloch who was speaking with me, 'Where are they, those two witnesses, going with the ephah?' And he said to me, 'To build the...'" Ding, 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 ding. "To build the irritating house of Yahweh," right? "To build those people." And guess what? The really awesome thing about how Pastor's building us is then you keep reading in Zechariah. Keep reading. Let's keep reading. I don't want to get sidetracked. So it says, the house of Yahweh. Okay. He's building us the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws in a Babylonish land right here in the USA. And it will be established at that time when the two witnesses are called out to do their work of trying to perfect. Ding. Perfect us, right? Right? Zechariah 6, 12 and 13. "Speak to him and say, 'This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch.'" That's not really his name. His name isn't Branch Hawkins, but that's a job that he's doing. "For he will branch out from his place and he will build..." Ding, you got it. "The house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and he will sit and rule on his throne." Is the branch going to have a throne? You betcha. And guess what? You could have one too. Ding. If you endure. Pastor is our example. He is directing traffic. He's putting up signs. He fishes. He farms. He does it all. He is among all these. Ding, right? He's among us. Now, how are we built? How are we built? Does anyone know how we're built? Exodus 20:20. "Don't be afraid, little flock. Yahweh, your father has come to test you and prove you to see whether you're going to show up every day." Right? And still do it. Even. Think about how awesome it'll be when one day the prison gates are opened. Think about how awesome. I got a video. I have to share this with you. I got a video from Africa today. It was from, I got a picture from Kenya with some women dressed in their purple from yesterday. And I got a video from Nigeria with a bunch of women singing Pastor's song. Okay? Now, the reason I wanted to share this with you is because they would give anything to come here and have someone... Right? They would give anything. So, you know, sisters, when we're among, remember that we're all among. It's not a nationality. We are all among one another who serve. Am I going to step on your toes? Probably. Are you going to step on mine? More than likely. Right? But let's think of the things that we do right. I was thinking about, we typed about maybe 30 announcements. And nobody called to say, you got our announcement perfect. Thank you so much. But you know the one call I did get? Oh, man. Messed up that announcement. So let's think about what we do right. You know what we do right? We're still here! We are among, and it's not a nationality. It's not a nationality. So, are you building your house here? Or are you building your house there? We got to count the cost. We have to learn and be just like our teacher. Because when we make a mistake, even whether it's with one another or in the work or anything, we always hear that voice in our head, don't we? That Israel Hawkins voice saying,
This is the way, Tana Hawkins! Oh, when are you gonna learn? But do you know that one day, I hope that someone is listening to Tana Hawkins' voice saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And I hope that we're all there singing that same song throughout all eternity. So, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.